This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. And on the first Friday of each month, we take on a topic related to the environment in Michigan, and we do so with Lisa Wozniak. Lisa is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and serves as my co-host of WEMU's first Friday Focus on the Environment. It's good to be with you for the July edition, Lisa.
Thank you, David. It's a pleasure to be here. And our guest today is U.S. Senator Gary Peters, who, amidst the COVID-19 pandemic, has been working on a myriad of other issues as well, including protection of our drinking water and Great Lakes.
Welcome to the show, Senator.
Well, it's great to be with you, David and Lisa. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it has been a very busy few weeks surrounding a lot of issues, but notably the Line 5 oil pipeline that runs through the Straits of Mackinac. It was shut down because of a temporary restraining order filed by Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel after the pipeline's owner, Enbridge Energy, was unable to provide necessary information about the recent damage that was discovered on the line. I'd love to know from you, Senator, what's the role of federal lawmakers like yourself in helping prevent a catastrophic Line 5 oil spill?
Well, you're absolutely right, Lisa. We have to do everything we can to prevent a catastrophic oil spill. There's just no question that should anything happen to Line 5 and we have a spill there, it would be, in fact, that's been determined, I know, by a number of studies, the absolute worst place to have an oil spill in the entire Great Lakes region. So we have to do everything we can to prevent that from happening. But I think, you know, to your question with federal officials, we need to work closely with the state of Michigan. The state of Michigan has the easement for this and obviously clearly is the strongest voice to protect the people of the state of Michigan, which they are entrusted to do. So the state of Michigan has issued the lawsuit, as you mentioned, needs to have transparency. The kind of damage that was done to the pipeline still hasn't been explained. You know, what my I've been working with PHMSA, which is the federal agency that oversees pipeline safety, but really PHMSA works with the states. This is a team effort. But in our discussions with our staff, with folks at PHMSA, they have not seen this kind of damage before. It's really unique. We have to get a better understanding of what happened and certainly make sure that there is not damage to the pipeline that could in any way compromise the integrity of the pipeline and lead to a spill. So we're in regular communications. I'm on the committee with oversight of PHMSA, and I'll be speaking to the administrator in the future. We're arranging a longer meeting and conference with the administrator, somebody who I've worked with over the years, and we'll. And I know PHMSA has been also asking for information from Enbridge, and Enbridge has been, slow at best or pushing back on releasing really vital information that both PHMSA and the state of Michigan needs.
Are you in favor of permanent shutdown or more in line with the idea of, as Enbridge proposes, building a concrete tunnel around the pipeline?
Well, we have to get rid of the pipeline as it is right now. It can't just be sitting on the lake bed as what we have. And here we experienced, of course, not too long ago, we had an anchor strike, and we were told by Enbridge that it was a dent that took them a couple of weeks before they actually put down the submersible to see the extent of the damage of the pipeline. And when they did do that, it was determined to be a gouge, not a dent. And a gouge is worse than a dent when it comes to the structural integrity of it, and so it was certainly serious. Now we have this other incident, which it may have been a boat or a ship dragging something. It's really unclear as to what happened. So just the fact that we have a pipeline sitting on the bottom of the lake exposed to so many dangers and yet presenting such a massive risk to the Great Lakes is simply unacceptable. So that has to go. Now, as far as the alternatives, we need to certainly review those, and we know the folks in the UP need to have opportunities to get propane, so we have to think through those issues clearly. Now the Public Service Commission is going to have a open set of hearings to hear from folks and to go through the process to evaluate whether or not the tunnel is an option that can address all of the various issues that people have concerns about. So, you know, there's a full process that we have to go through. Let's move through that process But certainly the pipeline as it sits right now, that cannot continue to exist. That is too great a risk to the Great Lakes.
89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment continues. I'm David Fair alongside my co-host Lisa Wozniak, the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, and our guest is U.S. Senator Gary Peters.
Speaking of Canadian companies and energy, Senator, a recent proposal to store Canadian nuclear waste on a site just miles away from the shoreline of Lake Huron was recently rejected. We know that this was a long-standing battle, and that we know that you played a key role in this issue. How did this victory end up coming about?
Well, it did come about because of just an intense pressure on the Canadian government. I mean, you just think about it on its face. Storing nuclear material along the shores of the Great Lakes, this immense body of fresh water that provides drinking water to 40 million people drink water out of it, not to mention the recreational uses and the economic benefit that provides to the Great Lakes region for people who enjoy the resource. And you know, it's safe to say that next to our people, there is no more valuable resource for the state of Michigan than the Great Lakes. Nuclear waste there makes no sense. It was intense public pressure that finally got the Canadians to move away from that. But we have to be vigilant because there are other proposals to perhaps put other types of waste along the lakeshore, and we have to stay focused.
And that is exactly what I was going to bring up. The issue is not at an end. There are other sites being considered. And is it going to come to pass, or is the pressure significant enough that now the Canadian government, the International Joint Commission, will work together and find ways to move that storage site elsewhere?
Well, I certainly hope so, because you're absolutely right. You know, there has been a significant public pressure. The Canadian government knows the opposition is intense. And in fact, some of the proposals move from low-grade waste to perhaps medium to high-level waste, which is even worse. So if you think the low-grade was bad, which it was and is, and why we had to make sure that it wasn't stored there, it's even worse if these new proposals go forward. So my experience has been you never take your foot off the gas. You keep putting pressure and let the Canadian government know that any of these actions are simply unacceptable.
So, Senator, as we have this conversation, we remain in the midst of a global pandemic, and much of the nation's focus is on systemic racism and policing. We have seen right here in Michigan the disproportionate impact of COVID-19 on communities of color. I mean, we've certainly seen that in Metro Detroit as example. And we also know that the impact of air and water pollution, the impacts from climate change, disproportionately hit low-income and communities of color. Do you see environmental justice and equity as a part of the larger pandemic conversation at the federal level?
Well, it has to be. There's no question about that, Lisa, and you're absolutely right. What we saw with and continue to see with the pandemic, that it impacts particular communities disproportionately, those communities that either do not have access to the kind of quality, affordable health care that other folks have, or live in zip codes that are in a situation where they receive higher loadings of pollution, whether it's water pollution or air pollution. The environmental injustice that we see across this country is extensive. We need to deal with that. And that's why it's so troubling that you see the EPA right now under the Trump administration moving aggressively to loosen regulations to keep water and air safe. It's unconscionable what we're seeing out of the Trump administration. And the communities that are going to be hit the worst are those that are already suffering on so many fronts. So I don't think you can possibly separate environmental justice from any of the broader discussions of justice that we are having in this country right now.
Our First Friday Focus on the Environment conversation with Senator Gary Peters continues on 89.1 WEMU. And Senator, most all issues in one way or another have been impacted by coronavirus. The financial investment it's taking just to work our way through is unprecedented and has implications on funding for just about everything else. And for now, there's no end in sight. 12th District U.S. Representative Debbie Dingell has said right here on WEMU she expects another relief package will pass by the end of July. Is that your sense of things in the Senate chamber?
Well, we're certainly hoping that's the case. We've been pressing from day one since the House passed their legislation for the Senate to take it up. We have heard calls from all corners that we have to continue to provide assistance to state and local governments, to our small businesses, to families that are struggling. We've heard from folks such as the chairman of the Federal Reserve that says that by delaying help for the economy could be in a more problematic place and a weaker position. Unfortunately, the Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, has slow-walked this. He said that he's not interested in taking it up quickly. There is a possibility now, based on some of the statements that he's made, that it will take something up in July. But your listeners should be aware that the Senate is not in session for the first 2 weeks of July, so this is towards the end of July. And really, there have not been any substantive bipartisan discussions at this point. And we need to be dealing with this in a bipartisan way, just as we've dealt with the other legislation related to COVID. It came through with strong bipartisan support. It's certainly my hope that that'll occur. I'm working every day to make sure that that becomes a reality. But right now, it's still uncertain. But we need to keep putting pressure on the Senate Republicans to take this legislation up. And we're seeing the impacts of it every day. And I think all of us are concerned with what's happening with the virus and the fact we're now seeing cases increase in a number of states, which clearly shows, in no uncertain terms, the virus is still out there. It's still with us. We need to continue to deal with this aggressively.
So that takes us, Senator, to my next question, and it's about the political environment in Washington, D.C., where we continue to see deep polarization. And given that the national climate today, do you have a sense that there's any opportunity for working more closely with one another on important issues like protecting our drinking water from toxins, or will we have to wait until the elections change that conversation?
Well, certainly, you know, I work every day in a way to bring people together and work in a bipartisan way. In fact, Georgetown University, the Lugar Center here at Georgetown University in Washington, ranks all members of Congress on their bipartisanship. And I was just recently ranked, the recent ranking, the third most bipartisan senator, Democratic senator. I do work to find common ground. Certainly, I'm a Democrat. I'm a proud Democrat. And there are clear differences between Democrats and Republicans. But I also think there's ways that we can find common ground and govern. But what we have seen on all too many of these environmental issues, unfortunately, is that it is very difficult to find some of that common ground, which is very disappointing, particularly when it comes to dealing with issues of environmental justice that we have already talked about. And so elections do matter. And I think folks, if they care deeply about these issues, need to understand that candidates have very different views on environmental issues, and they need to go to their polls and make sure that their voice is heard. And if we get an administration that believes that the environmental protection is a priority and that we have to deal with not just the current tough issues, but also a very, very important long-term issue that must be addressed and time is not on our side, which is climate change. We need to continue to be focused on dealing with the existential threat that climate change poses to our planet, that politics does matter, and folks need to make sure their voice is heard on Election Day.
Senator Peters, thank you so much for the time and the perspective today. Much appreciated.
Great to be with you. Thank you so much.
That is Michigan's U.S. Senator Gary Peters, and Lisa, I will look forward to having you back in August for another edition.
I look forward to it, David. Thank you.
Lisa Wozniak is Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and co-host for WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. For more information on today's feature and to visit our archive, go to the webpage at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.